www.thebridgecommunity.com. Hey, good morning, everyone. All right, a little more lively. That was better. I'm still waiting for that day for the growing back part. I think someone was not telling the truth there. So anyway, happy Father's Day to those who are fathers with us this morning, and we're grateful for you for being here hopefully striving to be the kind of person who models Christ's love to our kids. And certainly that was part of the video this morning. That is the goal, that is the target as followers of Jesus, that we would represent him, but to our families, to our children as well. And so high calling as fathers, that is for sure. But thank you for your part in looking to do that. And if that's been, you know, maybe not so much your own experience of your own father, we do want to be people as well who are willing to forgive and longing for everyone to come to know the love of Christ and for that to change them. So happy Father's Day, right? So we are in a series called Things God Loves, and it's a lot about trying to reflect the heart of God in many different ways. And today is God Loves Faithfulness. God loves faithfulness. So what is faithfulness, right? Let's start with that question, because when you hear the word, I'm sure that different thoughts come to mind, different connotations of the word faithfulness. When I hear the word faithful or the word unfaithful, I usually think of it in regards to fidelity in marriage. That's one of the first things that comes to mind. When two people make wedding vows, right, they are making a lifelong love commitment to be faithful to the other person. If either one of them were to enter into a romantic relationship or a sexual relationship outside of that marriage, it would be considered unfaithfulness, because that person has violated the vows they made with their spouse on their wedding day. Now, in the same way, when we come to follow Jesus, we are making, well, a commitment, a vow, right, to follow him. We are vowing to be faithful to him. But when we choose to give our affection or our attention to other so-called gods, whether they be a different religious belief or chasing after idols in society like relationships or materialism or power or success or fame, we are putting them, those things, ahead of God, ahead of him. And when we step out on God like that, we're violating the vow or the commitment we made when we chose to follow him. There's often imagery in Scripture where God's people start worshiping other gods and false idols or chasing after worldly things. They're pictured as having been unfaithful to him with a harlot or a prostitute, breaking their vows to him. These are the images we see in Scripture. The imagery is pretty spot on when it comes to the biblical definition of, well, unfaithfulness. But faithfulness in its simplest form is referring to being full of faith, right? Because we are full of faith, it means we believe in the declarations and the promises of God. We cling to what God says. We honor his wishes. Being people who are full of faith will do that because we completely trust him. So it's not just about trusting him, but about being, a relationship of fidelity to him, being trustworthy, being people of character, being people of commitment. It all wraps up in the idea of faithfulness. So if we could maybe define faithfulness this morning as this: faithfulness is being full of faith, having character and commitment that can be relied on. Faithfulness is being full of faith, having character and commitment that can be relied on. And God loves faithfulness in that sense. A few things about faithfulness we're going to look at this morning that we see in Scripture. Okay, so four things. Faithfulness, first of all, is an attribute of God. Faithfulness is an attribute of God. That might seem pretty obvious, but I think we need to start there. When it comes to faithfulness, this is clearly mentioned in Scripture as a characteristic of God himself. It's proclaimed many times, first of all, in the Psalms, for instance. Psalm 119:90 says, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast." Psalm 86:15, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." There are other places in the Old Testament like Lamentations 2. You're probably familiar with this one. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Right, so God himself is faithful. He is completely faithful. He has character and commitment that can be relied upon. And what's amazing, that I find amazing for us, is that God is faithful toward us even when we fail him. He's faithful toward us even when we fail him. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. It says, "The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." Verse 13, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Right? God doesn't react like we do. If we are faithless, he doesn't go, "Well, I'm going to be faithless then." If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He'll keep his word even when we break ours, when we disobey him, because that's just who he is. So faithfulness is an attribute of God. The second thing we see in Scripture is that we're meant to reflect that faithfulness that he has shown us. Right? That's an attribute of him, but we're meant to reflect the faithfulness God has shown us. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." In other words, he's faithful. We should be faithful too. We should be faithful as God is faithful. Something we should be striving for. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. This is not on the screen, and I'll just sum it up. You're probably familiar with the story. Jesus tells the story of three servants who are given different talents or sums of money. Right? Two of them doubled the master's money. They acted wisely, but one of them, of course, just buried it in the ground and gave it back to the master when he returned. Now, the two who were wise with what they had, they were considered faithful. So Jesus says of them in Matthew 25:21 and also in verse 23, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enjoy," or enter into the joy of your master. Right? Now the one who wasted those talents faced a severe punishment. Why? Because he was not faithful with what he had been given. Right? God wants us to be faithful in everything. Yes, in the big things, but also in the small things. In Proverbs 3, verses 3 through 4, it says, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." So we are meant to reflect the faithfulness that God has shown toward us. We should be striving for faithfulness. The third thing about faithfulness is this: God supports those who are faithful to him. God supports those who are faithful to him. And this is, there's a story in 2 Chronicles. Again, I'm just going to paraphrase it for us this morning, or give you the background of it. And the situation is this: Hanani is a seer, kind of like a prophet of Israel. And he gives a message to King Asa and says, "Look, Asa, you have seen God deliver you and your armies in previous battles. And yet in this thing that you just did, you went out on your own without seeking God on this one. You did your own thing, and you didn't consult him. You didn't seek him. It's going to cost you because you didn't recognize the Lord." Again, that's paraphrasing. But then here's the verse that Hananiah tells him in 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. Right? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. God is looking to strongly support those whose heart is blameless. Some translations render it perfect or complete. Some render that fully committed or fully devoted or loyal. In other words, faithful, right? Faithful. He's looking to strongly support those whose hearts are faithful. And it's interesting when you consider this story, because we often hear that phrase, like, God helps those who help themselves. And I think, or at least hope, we all know that's not like a biblical thing, right? That is not a, it's talked about like it's a Bible verse. It's not a biblical principle. In fact, this story shows us like the exact opposite. Because Asa did just that. He helped himself. He went right ahead. He didn't consult God. He didn't seek him. And he went out and did his own thing. And Hananiah's message was, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't just go in your own strength and power and help yourself. Because God helps or supports those who are faithful. And if you think about it, why wouldn't he? You know, and maybe put that in personal terms as well. Like, look, if I'm someone whose heart is faithful, why wouldn't God help me? Why wouldn't he strongly support me? Why wouldn't he strongly support those who are faithful? Someone who is faithful is going to be trying to stay in line with God's heart. Someone who's faithful is going to be trying to operate according to God's plan. Someone who is faithful will be seeking to follow the Lord's will. And why wouldn't he help them do that? Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he help them accomplish their purposes, his purposes for them in their lives or in the world? He will do that. He will strongly support those whose hearts are faithful. But he isn't going to help us accomplish the things he doesn't want us to do. Right? Because that would be counterproductive. Because we're resisting him, or at least potentially resisting him, and working against his will. Another story we find in Scripture, and again, I'm going to paraphrase this one. I would encourage you to take some time this week and look up Deuteronomy 28. Just read the chapter and you'll get the gist of what is happening here. It's pretty powerful. But in Deuteronomy 28, Moses is speaking to the Israelites. And he's talking, in essence, about the significance of them being God's chosen people and the relationship that they have with him. And he's relaying the words in the heart of God to them regarding their faithfulness and their fidelity towards him. And he lays out, in the first part of the chapter, all these benefits and blessings that they're going to have if they faithfully obey his voice. If they live with character and commitment that can be relied on the way God desires, if they're faithful. But he also tells them what's in store if they are unfaithful to him. And spoiler alert, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. And the point is this. If we want God to strongly support us, if you want God to strongly support you, if you want God to have your back, be sure you remain faithful to him. Be sure you aren't stepping out on him, because God supports those who are faithful to him. But if you're unfaithful, there's going to be consequences, right? And they could be quite severe. They could even be devastating, because that's how far God will go to get our attention and bring us back to him, because he cares about us that much. So God will support those whose hearts are faithful. The fourth thing, faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Right? We might not always realize that because it's kind of in a list of things, but there it is, right? Galatians 5, 22, 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Sorry, I always get gentleness and goodness mixed up. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Right? Now, we understand that fruit, it's not something we produce on our own. Right? Not on our own strength or our own power. It's not something we can bring about just because, hey, we try harder. Like, we try harder. We just make ourselves have greater love for someone else or for God. We'll just make ourselves have greater joy. We'll just make ourselves have greater peace or greater patience or greater kindness. I mean, we can't do that, right? Goodness, gentleness, self-control. We just make ourselves have those things. We just produce them on our own. We can't. And the same is true with faithfulness. We can't produce that in our own power either. The fruits of the Spirit are things God grows in us. He produces them, not us. Which means faithfulness is the result of the Holy Spirit working within us. Now, that might be an easy cop-out to go, well, look, if I'm not patient, if I'm not faithful, if I'm not joyful, if I don't have peace, if I'm not good, that's not my fault. The Holy Spirit's not working in me. Okay, but here's our part. Because while faithfulness or any of these fruits of the Spirit are up to God to produce in us, it is up to us to abide or remain or stay connected to Him. And that's how the fruit comes about. Right, John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He's the vine. The vine is the source of life. We're the branches. We're dependent upon that vine. We will grow fruit. God will produce fruit in us if we remain or abide in him, if we stay connected to the vine. We won't grow fruit if we don't abide in him or stay connected to the vine. So when it comes to the fruit, to do, right? God desires that we're going to reflect that. We need to be abiding, remaining, and staying connected to Jesus. And so if I could close with one kind of key idea for today. Just a personal story, right? Sherry and I, we had our anniversary just a couple of days ago, which was pretty cool. Thank you. Thank you. Bob was really mean and asked us if we're counting by decades now. And that jerk leads our worship team. Just kidding. It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. And I'm like, no, because we're 3 years short of counting by decades, because that'll be the third, and then we probably have to start. All right, so 27 years, right? And we just stayed home, had dinner together, hung out together. It was really nice because, honestly, we haven't had a lot of time to spend together this last couple of weeks. They've just been really busy. So besides us both working during the day, and we had lots of activity going on at night, our weekends have been pretty packed. Between graduations and graduation parties and soccer events and work projects and church projects and get-togethers. So everything's been pretty packed. Now, last few weeks we've been still, you know, functioning like a married couple. We're both doing our part. Like, she's doing the dishes, I'm cutting the lawn. She's doing laundry, I'm taking out the garbage when I remember. I did forget that this week. And that was after I thought I should use that as an example. She pays the bills, and I watch basketball, right? So we do, it's Father's Day, give me a little bit of a break, right? we're doing the things we need to do. She watched the game with me last night, go Bucks, all right? So that was pretty fun. All right, so we're doing the things we need to do to keep our marriage in our life moving forward. But none of those things, the tasks, none of those things is what's going to keep our relationship close. We're not going to be close with one another if that's all it's about. We need time to talk. We need time to connect, to be together. And when we don't get that, our relationship suffers. We can probably all understand that. There are seasons of our life that are really difficult, and there's moments of our life that are really difficult. Well, in the same way, as a follower of Jesus, we can still keep doing the things that Christians do. Go to church, give money, serve on the worship team, help with the church project, try to live by God's moral standards, say the quick mealtime prayer. And that's all good. But if we aren't really connecting with Him, our relationship still suffers, even when we're doing those things. Put Jesus before anything else. Otherwise, anything else will take its place. And so I had this moment this week that really convicted me, quite honestly. Part of my busy week was a soccer practice that we had on Thursday. And we ended up canceling due to stormy weather that was coming in. And of course, as soon as you cancel, the stormy weather splits and goes completely around the field. We totally could have had practice. And that's usually how it goes. Like, if you don't cancel, there's going to be a tornado. But if you do, the sun's going to come out and the birds are going to be singing and you're going, why did we cancel? That's just nature of the beast, right? But I didn't want to cancel. But at the same time, I was like, I'm kind of a bit glad because I'm getting a little breather, right? It's been really busy. I get a little bit of a breather. So I'm literally on my phone typing out the message to send to everyone that says practice is canceled. I'm like, yeah, we're canceling practice. And Sherry goes, oh, well, then are you going to go to the end of year golf party with me and Taryn? And my first response, you know, because I'm tired, is going, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And I was just grumpy, and it was really had more to do with the fact that, like, 2 seconds after I got a breather, I got filled up with something else I had to do in that next moment. So I just immediately dismissed the idea. Now, I was thinking about that, and I went to the party, and I actually, it didn't take long for me to change my mind. But initially, I just dismissed the idea right away. And I got to thinking about that, and I'm like, you know, this was a chance to spend some time with my family. The thing that I've been missing all week. You know what else it was? It was a chance to connect with people outside of church that I might actually have some impact and influence on. And I am not kidding you, just the day before, I spent some time with some pastors. We were talking and praying about different things, and one of the things that I prayed for was that I would have more opportunities to spend time with people outside of church who need to know Jesus, that there be opportunities for that. So here were two things that I really badly needed and wanted to do. It would probably be the very best use of my suddenly freed up time. And my first reaction was to blow it off. And I got to thinking about that because so often when it comes to abiding or remaining in Jesus, we feel like, oh, we're so busy and there's so much going on. And then a moment frees up, but we don't take advantage of it. It's not like the first thing we say is, oh, good, now I have more time to spend with Jesus. Sometimes useless activity, or at least less important activity, comes in and takes its place instead. Some other form of busyness is just going to claim that space in our life. And that's why carving out the time with Him needs to be our priority. Make sure that spending time with Jesus, make sure being with Him comes before anything else. Because if we don't, something else, anything else, will gladly take that space away from us. Put Jesus before anything else, otherwise anything else will take its place. You know, this last week, over the last couple weeks, I've tried to implement this. It's kind of like a little rule just in my own life recently. And the rule is simply this. I don't want to work on preparing for a message or a teaching until I've taken some time to pray about what I'm about to do first, right? Just to pause and to pray and seek God on it. And here's why. That might seem like, well, you're a pastor, of course, don't you do that all the time? But it's really easy for me just to jump in and roll with it. You know, I open up the scriptures, dive, take notes, start working around, working through stuff, typing stuff up, working on the message without really seeking God. It's easy to do that. And I even caught myself a couple times this week where I'm like, wait a second. I'm trying to make sure that I'm pausing to pray. So let's stop what I'm doing, pause and pray. And the reason I'm doing it is because I'm like, well, look, I need to be connected to the heart of Jesus. I need to be abiding in him if I'm going to have any hope of conveying his heart when it comes time to teach or preach on Sundays or whenever. So I'm just trying to take that extra moment to pause, to pray, and to seek God as I prepare for the time and the messages. Like, I want to be faithful in this, which means I need to put Jesus before anything else. Otherwise, anything else will gladly step in to take its place. So this morning, as we talk about faithfulness, that's what I just simply want to challenge us with, right? All of us with, is to prioritize that pursuit of Jesus. Prioritize the pursuit of Jesus. He comes first. Whether it's in our family life, our work week, even when we're on vacation, right? It's not a vacation from Jesus. It's not supposed to be. Put Jesus before anything else, because if we don't, something else is going to end up taking the place. And it's the place that rightfully belongs to him, where he comes first. We're going to take a moment and pray, and we're going to close with one more song of worship. Father God, you are a God who is faithful. You're faithful to us, and you desire for us to reflect that faithfulness back to you in our relationship with you. You desire it to be something that we're growing in, that it's a fruit that you'll produce in us, but it's going to come when we abide in you. And you're looking to strongly support us. You want to support those whose hearts are faithful. And you long for our hearts to be faithful. You long to produce faithfulness in us, but we need to abide in you. And so, Father, we just simply pray this morning that as we continue in this journey with you, that you would become our first priority. That we would put you in a place that comes first so that nothing else fills it up and takes it away. It's where we're going to grow. It's where we're going to know you. It's where our relationship is going to become something that we even long for. So help us to find that space, to make that space, to make that priority of you in everything we do. And we just simply lift this up as our prayer this morning. In the name of Christ we pray.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.